Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. This has been one hell of a week. That's the only way it can be put. We are at war again, limitedly, but we are out there fighting, and this thing could break out into one massive situation. You may want to call in and discuss the war with me or any other things I'm discussing or something you want to bring up. If you do, the number is 646-478-5731. The number is on the screen in front of you. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I want to start this evening with the bombing last night of Iraq and Syria. It is the most important thing that has happened in the last 24 hours. I'm only going to have some brief comments because the television has been overloaded all day with this because it is extremely important. We have gone in harm's way once again. I am impressed with what President Obama was able to do in bringing five Arab countries on board to join him in the bombings that took place last night. Arabs do not fight Arabs. They do amongst themselves, but they don't help a third party to fight each other. The Sunnis and the Shiites hate each other and been fighting for thousands of years. But they never join with a third party from another civilization, another country. We are a Western power to go after one of their own from their religious faith. So it was unusual the president is to be complimented. What galls me, what burns my ass, and it should burn yours too, where are all the European nations? Where are the Western nations? Where's Great Britain? We saved their asses in World War II. Where's France? France is always on the edge before they join you. Where are all these countries? I can understand Turkey. They got 42 or 43 of their citizens back with their heads on their shoulders, and they have to do what they have to do. Germany bothers the hell out of me, and I'm going to tell you why. Germany took the position this week that they will have absolutely nothing to do with anything about Iraq or Syria or assisting us in any way, whether on the air, no in the air, no troops on the ground, in no way at all. And why? Because Germany gets 30% of their gas and oil from Russia. And Russia does not support what we are doing here with regard to ISIS. And Germany's afraid that Russia will cut off their supply of gas and oil. And the winter's right around the corner. I can understand. And this is what Russia would do. But sometimes you have to stand up in this world and be counted. Otherwise, you have problems later on. And what Germany forgets, my friends, that in 1945, it was the United States that started putting money into Germany and helped in the recovery of Germany, built this great and mighty nation that it is today. It would never have happened, or it wouldn't have happened as fast as it did, without our putting our taxpayer dollars into Germany to get it resurrected after we beat them. Did the Russians put in any money? No. The Russians got permission from all the other allied countries to go into Berlin first. They wanted to go into Berlin alone and be first because they had to get even, they said, and it's true, for what the Germans did to the Russian people in 1941 and 1940 when they invaded Russia. So we let them go in, and they raped the German women. They killed the German youth. They did anything they wanted for several days, and we let them. But Germany forgets all this. They forget the rapes, the killings that didn't have to be. They forget that we gave them money. We didn't take anything away from them after we beat them. And so this is the way things go, I guess. I expected by this time today, we would have seen videos and heard of massive beheadings taking place via ISIS over in Iraq and Syria. They're going to get even. Don't kid yourself. I assume we'd see videos of 30, 40, 50 people lined up in their heads getting all chopped off at one time. This is the way these people act. I thought there might be worse. We don't know what they have here in the United States, Great Britain, or France, who they have in these countries, our country, that they can go out and blow up a subway line, a department store. We don't know. And it's going to happen because this is a war involving terrorists. And they're going to do something like this. I'm surprised and shocked it has not happened yet. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. They got to come back. We know they're going to come back and take a shot at us. We just don't know where and how bad it's going to be. It's going to happen, though. Again, I say, by this time next week, we'll know, and we'll move on with this terrible thing. I don't see this getting resolved in a very short period of time. I also don't know if we belong there. I've got to say it this way. I saw no harm to the United States yet. Sure, they threaten, but everybody threatens. Do we wait for another 9/11 to happen? I don't know. Would it have happened? You know, you don't get out of a war in the Middle East in less than 10 years. And I hate to see us go back in for 10 years. Okay, now we're going to talk about something that's going to offend you. It offends me. In fact, it bothers me and it shocks me. Have you noticed in the last 2 or 3 weeks how many generals are showing up on the TV talk shows? You've got generals. You've got colonels. They're even bringing in lieutenant colonels. And they're throwing in a couple of admirals. And they're all sitting in their chairs. And they're saying, war, war, war. We've got to go to war. We've got to stop ISIS over there before they come over here. Eventually, we're going to have troops on the ground. And they're promoting war. And you listen to them and you say, gee, these guys are experts. They're retired, but they're generals. They know what they're talking about. This was their life career. And it bothers me because I started looking into this a little bit. Most, if not all, of the generals, as I described them, they're no longer generals, but they are on the payrolls or the board of directors of the military contractors who will supply the ammunition, the ordnance, the guns, the tanks, the uniforms to fight another war. Since the war in Iraq came down to what it has, which is supposedly nothing, up until the last few months, these people, the military contractors dropped dramatically in the money they were making every year because they only make money off war. If they can, you know, this is the group that Eisenhower said, beware of the military-industrial complex. Well, they've been hurting. They ain't hurting anymore, and these generals are on their payroll. They work for them. They've got real jobs there, and or they're on the board of directors and are getting six-figure director fees every year, or most people aren't aware of this. Military contractors in the last 4 or 5 years have established several very large think tanks, and they put these generals into these think tanks. So when they come to the TV show, they're coming from a think tank that you think, oh, my God, these guys are real smart. Not only were they generals, they're working in a think tank now, and they're grabbing around $250,000 salary there. Who tells you about this when they appear? This conflict of interest that these men have. And they have to be lying to a certain degree. I mean, they're taking care of their pocket. They're not taking care of you and me when these generals are talking this way. And I'll tell you who else I'm upset with here. I'm upset with the television people, the media, the people who put on these shows. I'm upset with the TV corporations themselves, the media in general, because there seems to be, and I've complained about this for the last 2 or 3 years on this show and my television show, I have written about it. I think that the media, the corporations that own them, are controlling the news we hear and see. And the decision was made, we'll put these guys on, but we're not going to say where they really come from, how they get paid, because they want to sell us this bill of goods, that we've got to support this, because they're going to come and get us, these people. They're going to come and get us here. You've heard these commentators, these former generals. And I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong for the corporations that own the medias. I think it's wrong for the generals. There's supposed to be transparency. Whatever happened to the great investigative reporters that started way back with Watergate? I mean, these fellas are supposed to dig and investigate. They get all kinds of protections in the courtroom, and yet they're covering somebody's asses here. Not right. Now, I want to talk to you about Al-Qaeda. There still is an Al-Qaeda. We have ISIS now. ISIS is the new kid on the block. They've been around since 2010, only you and I did not start hearing about them until about 3 months ago. It's like they came out of nowhere. A lot of former members of Al-Qaeda are in ISIS, and they're new people who were never with Al-Qaeda that are in ISIS. They are separate and distinct from Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, ever since Osama bin Laden was killed, has gone down the tubes, all right? They're not as strong as they were, though. They're still functioning. They are still functioning. And if you would believe the president today, we did bomb some places in Syria because there was another group whose name I cannot recall. We never heard about it till today. There was Al-Qaeda that supposedly was going to attack us here. Fine. I accept that as truth. What I'm talking about, though, here is they're coming back, Al-Qaeda. They fear ISIS. ISIS and Al-Qaeda dislike each other. Arabs can never get along. They dislike each other, and Al-Qaeda wants to come back because they know if they don't beat ISIS themselves, ISIS is going to overtake all of the Middle East, and Al-Qaeda is going to be sitting out on the sidelines looking in. So, you're going to love this. About 2 weeks ago, a former Al-Qaeda leader, close to Osama bin Laden, started a Al-Qaeda group, a new Al-Qaeda group, all right? And he brought some people in with him, and he had a lot of young people coming to help him, and he knew he had to do something rapidly, because if you look at ISIS, everything they do swiftly and successfully. So 10 days after forming the new Al-Qaeda, which, by the way, they call the Indian Al-Qaeda, don't think it means India. This thing's screwy. It's the India subcontinent Al-Qaeda, and that means there is they call it the subcontinent when you take together parts of India and two other countries, whose name escaped me for the moment, I'm sorry, and that's called the subcontinent, so it's really the Indian subcontinent, but they call it the Indian Al-Qaeda. Okay, so the new leader brings his guys together, and he says, we got to do something dramatic, and they decide... only 10 days after they got in business again, they decide that they're going to blow up or take control of the United States carrier George Washington. Now, our carrier George Washington is sitting over in the harbor of Karachi, Pakistan. And they say, we're going to go. We're either going to take control of the ship or we're going to blow it up. Well, they made a mistake. They're only in business 10 days. They had to get together, plan this, etc. Instead of going on the carrier, they went on a Pakistani frigate. Now, a carrier is several blocks high, several blocks long. A frigate looks like an expanded Corvette. It's long, low, and sleek. They thought the frigate was the carrier. This, in my opinion, is the gang. I'm laughing. They couldn't shoot straight. They went on. These 10 guys went on. They had papers and uniforms. They looked like they were for real. And one of the sailors, one of the gunmen on the frigate, thought something was amiss. They broke out into battle. Three were killed. Seven were captured. And they look like asses now, first-class asses. They look like asses to ISIS and the rest of the world because they went on the wrong ship. They're the gang that couldn't shoot straight. So now they come out with this story. This is what Al-Qaeda says. We didn't intend to capture the carrier George Washington, which was also in the harbor. What we intended to do was take the Pakistani frigate, take control of it, and then go out into the waters and shoot and put big holes in the carrier so it would sink. Well, that story doesn't fly. Because, as it turns out, the Pakistani frigate, has been sitting at that same dock since 2011, for 3 years. It hasn't moved. It hasn't been operated. The motors aren't being turned over. The ship wasn't even turned on, whatever way you turn it on so you can move away from the deck or the dock. It needed time also to warm up. There was no ammunition, no ordnance on the boat at all. Now, and they want the world now to believe that they were going to take that over and they had the skill to shoot whatever the guns were in the boat if everything was as it should have been. So the world looks at them. They become the laughing stock of the terror world, and they just didn't look good. They screwed up, and I call them the gang who couldn't shoot straight. Now, let me tell you something. They're going to come back in the next couple of weeks again with something, and they'll succeed this time because they're not going to look like asses again. Okay, moving. I wrote an article on this, by the way. It will be published tomorrow in Conk Life, the news, local newspaper I write a column for once a week. I call it the Al-Qaeda gang who could not shoot straight. It hits the stands tomorrow night. I want to talk about Egypt. Isn't it amazing? The Middle East isn't everything today. The Middle East is everything today. Egypt. Egypt had it good under Mubarak. They didn't think they did. They did. Mubarak was our friend for 30 years. We turned our backs on him, though. Obama and Hillary Clinton said, no, we got to support democracy. This man was our friend. He made friends with Israel. Why? Because of us. He became Israel's friend, which gave Israel a protection over there. We also gave Egypt for many years and still give them $4 billion a year. Up front, every year, they get the check on the same day. $4 billion. And, excuse me, what does Egypt do now? It's like spitting in the wind, I think. What happened is this. There are many Egyptian diplomats, consulates. They have an Egyptian consulate in New York. They may have an embassy. This is all in New York City. And they have many, many people working for the consulates. And these people drive around. They have cars or they have limousines. And what happens is they don't pay their parking fines. They will go out. And if New York's a busy place and wherever they go is busy, think of the UN, for example, and they'll pull up. And if there's a row of cars parked against the curb, they'll just double park. They don't care. Lock the car and walk away. If there are already cars double parked, they'll triple park and lock the door and walk away. They are diplomats, they feel, and they have diplomatic immunity. Well, it doesn't apply to parking fines in this country. It only applies to when you're performing at that particular moment, a diplomatic duty. Where you park your car has never been considered a diplomatic performance of a duty. At the present time, the country that we give $4 billion a year to owes the city of New York $1,970,580 for parking fines in the last few years, probably since Mubarak has been out of office some 4 years. Almost $2 million they owe for parking fines. And these guys haven't got one or two or three tickets. We get arrested. Some people in the United States will get arrested if they got an overdue parking ticket. These guys got thousands of them, obviously. No one bothers them. A disgrace. I do, as I indicated earlier, I write a column every week for Conk Life. Tomorrow the paper comes out with the article on the Al-Qaeda gang who could not shoot straight. I have to get my articles in a week ahead of time, so I am sending out tomorrow for next Wednesday's edition my new article, and I call it Bank Robbers. Bank Robbers. And very briefly, let me tell you what Bank Robbers is about, because I love it and you will love it. There was a time when people were bank robbers. I'm talking about Jesse James, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Ma Barker, John Dillinger, and Willie Sutton. They were bank robbers of yesterday. The bank robbers of yesterday, they were people. People robbed banks. Listen to what I said. People robbed banks. Today, banks rob people. Hear me again. Today, banks rob people, whereas people used to rob banks. Now, banks rob people. They rob you and me, okay? I'm talking about banks like Countrywide, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch. You know, they were sleazy mortgage lenders. They almost broke the economy of this country, and yet not one of them has gone to jail. Don't forget what our Attorney General Holder has said. The banks are too big to fail. And then he said the banks are too big to prosecute. Bank of America recently paid $16.6 billion in a civil settlement so their hierarchy, their CEOs and big shot bankers, would not be arrested. And a prominent national reporter described the $16.6 billion under the title of crime and punishment. They committed crimes the way they treated the banking industry and people, and yet their punishment was only paying a fine, which they could easily afford. They are white-collar bank robbers, and they're being let off the hook. They are crooks internationally and nationally. They also conspire. They conspire. The banks get together as to how they're going to pull their shenanigans to keep money away from the 99%, keep it for themselves, the 1%, and make more money. Whatever happened to antitrust laws in this country? Banks are not supposed to sit down together and decide how they're going to screw their customers, and yet they get away with it because the banks are too big to prosecute. We're making a mistake. That's what the article's about next week, bank robbers, because the bank robbers of today are not people. They are the banks themselves. This, what I'm going to describe now is, I don't know if it's stupid. I'm a retired lawyer. I have great respect for the lawyer, law, but I think it's been screwing up in the last 10, 20 years, and we're going the wrong way. Some of the courts are getting as bad as these corporations. I'm sorry. They're not taking bribes or anything. They're not getting overpaid, obviously. They work very hard. But their decision-making process sucks. I talked 2 or 3 years ago on a television show about what was happening. Cell phones are in vogue. Cell phones, you can take pictures with them. They are a camera. And a new crime was on the scene. Men were taking pictures up the skirts of women. If a woman's in a grocery store, she bends over to pick something up, a can off the lower shelf. This guy, this pervert, might as well call him what he is. He's a creep. He's a pervert. He goes by with his cell phone camera, and he takes a picture of her. If she's bending over a counter to get something, and again, her ass rides up in her skirt with it a bit, he walks by and takes a quick picture with his camera. Well, this got to be a problem, okay? And just about every state in the union banned taking pictures of women up their skirts. Makes sense, doesn't it? Well, the tide is turning. The pervert is winning. And I'll tell you why. And here's basically how it works. A federal court in Texas in an 8-to-1 decision. A federal court in Texas in an 8-to-1 decision. And the top court in the state of Massachusetts, state court in Massachusetts, have said, in effect, that it's okay to take a picture up the skirt of a woman as long as she's wearing panties. You heard me, as stupid and simple as that, as long as she's wearing panties. And regardless of the age, even young children are involved. Because if the privates are covered, nothing is being seen. There's a First Amendment right of expression that the pervert has. He likes to take pictures up the skirts of women. We have to protect that right. That's what these decisions say. We have to protect that right. So if she's wearing panties, we can't see anything. And if we don't see anything, her right, the woman's right to privacy, has not been invaded. And so now these guys are getting off who take pictures up the skirt because women are wearing panties. The Massachusetts case was one I talked about 2 or 3 years ago. These cases take forever to reach the highest court. What happened in Massachusetts happened in 2010. This fellow sitting on a subway in the Boston area. This woman sitting across from him. For some reason, She's got her legs open. And this guy, right in front of her and in front of everyone else, is taking pictures of what is between her legs. You know how why he got off? She was wearing panties, as it turned out. And her right to privacy wasn't invaded. And he had a First Amendment right to take pictures of anything he wanted because that made him feel good. All right. Well, let's go to some of this militarization stuff that's been going on in this country that we all know we don't like. If anyone likes it, they're nuts. Because policemen are supposed to be policemen and not soldiers. It's very simple. And soldiers should not be policemen. The Pentagon has been recently announced. The Pentagon has given grenade launchers to 100 college campus police departments. 100 colleges, their campus police now have grenade launchers. Now, who are they going to use them on? They're going to use them on the kids. You know college kids, they get upset. They demonstrate. They yell and scream. Now, you're going to go after them with grenade launchers? You're going to kill a couple of them or maim them? What's this country coming to? This is going to be another Kent State. Think back 30 years ago when on the campus of Kent State some children got killed, some college kids got killed. They're not children, they're young adults. But they got killed because the police got out of control and started shooting into the crowd. And the police were wrong in that instance, the way it all came about. Now we've got 100 campus police departments with grenade launchers. If you've got them, you're going to use them. We know it, and you know it. And I don't like it, and I assume you don't like it either. This is not good business. Now we come to a SWAT team. We've always had SWAT teams. The super-duper police officers who can shoot a rifle with such accuracy, they can put out a guy's eye from, what, 300 yards, 500 yards? And they come to generally where somebody's a killer or he's got somebody he should not have kidnapped, and they line up on the buildings, under the cars, anywhere they can, waiting to get a shot at this guy. And once they can get a shot at him, they kill him. Boom. That's what SWAT teams are for. Let me tell you what a SWAT, and we have more SWAT teams in this country now. Tremendous number because they got the better uniforms. They got all this gear they wear around their body and on their head so they can't get shot themselves. And they got all this equipment to take them to the scene of the alleged crime. Here's what happened outside of Orlando, Florida. We're talking about the Orange County Department, Sheriff's Department. This happened in 2010. Again, it just came to the highest court in Florida federal court for decision. They went to a barbershop calling Strictly Skills, S-K-I-L-L-Z. It was owned and operated by an immigrant. All its barbers were immigrants. Whether they had papers or not, I don't know. It was not part of the case. They went to the barbershop to check to see if each barber had his professional license from the state of Florida to be a barber. They rushed into the barbershop with their guns, their rifles. They handcuffed all the barbers immediately. And all the patrons who were there waiting to get haircuts or were getting haircuts. You don't do that. I mean, it's an overreaction to the situation. And as it turned out, 2 days earlier, the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation had inspected and found everything in order. The court said, you can't do this. It's out of a Hollywood movie. It shows a disproportionate force being used. No evidence such force was justified, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what happened. So now these guys, after 4 years, will have a lawsuit against the Sheriff's Department. That's the show for tonight. Thank you for joining me. If you miss it, most of you, by the way, I know, listen to the show in its archive form or on Facebook or on YouTube in the course of the next week. I don't care when you listen to it. I'm glad you listened to it. I wrote a book, as I tell you every week, The World Upside Down. If you like my show, this show, buy the book. If you don't like the show, don't buy the book. You will not enjoy it. You can get it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I thank you once again for joining me. I enjoy doing this show. I'm glad you enjoy listening to it. See you next week, my friends.